Morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome here this morning. It's a blessing to be gathered together as a body and a beautiful day outside. I expect that with warmer weather and sunshine, we'll see a lot of greenery coming forth. It's a blessing. It's beautiful. Thank you, Fletcher, for those words this morning on God's personal knowledge to each one of us and how it has both the fear of God and also the comfort. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture there. I was glad you brought up both of those aspects of it. And in the children's lesson there is really good for the children, but it's also good for you young people to take that to heart, because as Brother Malin says, which is, I appreciate that, if you cannot sow those wild oats, if you cannot squander those precious years of your life, you'll never regret it. If you can start out well, it saves you so much. The Christian life has enough challenges, if you do start out well, to not complicate it with a lot of wasted years. And I'm thankful for a God that redeems us wherever we come to the end of ourselves and turn to Him. He can redeem us there. I'm thankful for that. But I would encourage you to, as some of those kings that said in his youth, he set his heart to seek God. If that can be your heart, you'll never regret it. Those that can, let's kneel for prayer. Father, we just want to commit this time to you this morning, and just take my trembling heart and lips, and would you feed your people, God? Lord, open your word to us this morning, Father, and would you speak to us? Father, guide my thoughts, and I pray, Lord, that you would have your way. Lord, and what you desire to accomplish this morning can be accomplished. Lord, we need bread from heaven. We need you to speak to us. We need you to work in the church. Father, we just beseech you this morning that you would bless your people. Father, I want to pray for the young people. Lord, they would fear God, that they would make good choices in life. They would set their heart to seek you. Pray for the older ones, that we could be examples, that fathers could have the hearts of their children. Fathers, I want to pray that your heritage would prosper, Lord, and your name would be continue to be honored and glorified here in our midst, we pray. Father, think of our brothers and sisters who are not here this morning, those in Turkey, those in Bolivia, those in Zanzibar. We just pray, Father, that you'd be with each one. Would you bless them? Be with the service in Crossville, Poplar Hill this morning. We pray that your people could prosper. Father, we love you. We just commit ourselves to you and ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. You can turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1. I plan to finish this chapter this morning. St. John chapter 1. We've spent some time here in this chapter. So we're ready for verse 35, I believe. The last we looked at here was on John's confession of who Jesus was. He says, "Behold the Lamb of God." You remember that? The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You see the phrase Lamb of God both in verse 29 as well as in verse 36. Yes. So we'll back up just one verse here to get the context. So let's read now for the beginning here, John 1, 35 through 39. Again, the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. So if you look here, the beginning of the gospel, and you compare that with maybe Matthew or Mark or Luke, some of the others, the calling of his disciples looks a little different. Because there you see them out in the boats, right? And he comes along and he says, follow me. And they left their father in the boats, the fishing, and they followed him. So I believe this may be when they first meet Jesus. This is maybe a few days before he actually called them. This is maybe when they first were meeting him. And then what you see in the other Gospels, I wonder if it doesn't happen maybe a few days after this. So I think the two can blend very well together. So I want to focus for the first little while on these verses we read, and then we'll finish a chapter later on, Lord willing. I've titled my message, What Seek Ye? I wasn't sure what to title it, but I think we'll just call it What Seek Ye? And I have about four headings here that we'll go through out of these verses here. So we see here these two disciples who actually were John's disciples previously, right? They were going with John. John was preaching the gospel of repentance. He was baptizing people, and they were sitting under his feet. These were spiritual men with spiritual appetites. They could have been pursuing didn't the Romans have big coliseums and games, all kinds of stuff? They could have been into all that. They could have been into Roman politics. They could have been in whatever it was that captured the hearts of young men back in that day. But these were spiritual men that they saw the realities of eternity. They saw the need to be godly. They were following John the Baptist. And then when this time comes on, when John points out, this is the Lamb of God, and he proclaims that, those disciples, they realized that John had been saying, I'm not the Christ, I'm sent before him, right? And he kept pointing, he said, I'm preparing the way for one who is greater than I. And then when he points out who it is, they leave John, and they begin following Jesus. And they followed Jesus. I don't know how long they walked, how long they went. They were following Jesus. It says here that Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, What seek ye? What seek ye? I'd like to just ponder on that this morning. What are you seeking in life? If you would have been a young man in that day, where would you have been found? Where would you have been pursuing all the other things that Rome had to offer? Or would you have been out there listening to John the Baptist preach? Would you have had a tender heart towards God? Would you have been one, when you heard that, you would have said, I wonder who this man's like. I'm going to follow him now and see what he's like. Where would you have been found back then if you'd have lived then? What seek ye? Jesus turned, he says, What seek ye? Something greater, something higher had captured their attention, and they sought spiritual things. They began following Jesus. What are you following? What questions do you ask? I believe this same question, I believe Jesus would like to ask each one of you this morning, What seek ye? I believe he would. What is the posture of your heart? What is your heart bent towards? I'll read here out of Amos 5, verse 4 through 8. Amos 5, For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, Seek ye me, and ye shall live. Brother, sister, if you as a young person could set your heart, if you could start right and set, you know, start buttoning that coat the right way in your youth and set your heart to seek God, you will never regret it. You see how God used these men. I don't know how old these men were that had this heart that sought God, but whenever you see a young man set his heart in that direction, just like those disciples, God will use him. Those disciples became the apostles of the Lord Jesus, and God used them. And when a young man or a young woman sets his heart to seek God in that way and leaves all that Rome has to offer and goes out there in the wilderness and sits at the feet of John the Baptist and then begins to follow Jesus, God will use them in His kingdom. Seek ye me and ye shall live. Seek not Bethel. I'm not sure what Bethel had to offer. Nor enter into Gilgal. Pass not to Beersheba. I'm not sure what all that signifies, but it's obviously the things of this world and what they have to offer. For Gilgal shall surely go to captivity and Bethel shall come to naught. Seek the Lord and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph. So there was pending judgment upon Israel, it seems, and the call was to begin to seek God. Seek ye him that maketh the seven stars in the rhyme. You like going out in the night and seeing the stars? And your heart just begins to seek God. God. The God that made these stars. I want to know you, God. And you seek him that made the seven stars in Orion, that turneth the shadow of death into morning, and maketh the day dark with night, and calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the earth. The Lord is his name. Seek him. Seek him. Amen? The power of seeking. There's a power, you know, when the seeking is a very powerful thing. People seek many things. And when you see someone begin to develop a passion for someone, for something, it's a very powerful, it's a motivating thing. They pursue that thing and they accomplish something with that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Maybe it's tennis. You know, maybe you have a passion for tennis and you begin to pursue that. You'll probably become something of value. You probably become good at what you pursue. And there's when your heart is bent towards something, it's powerful. The heart is a very powerful thing, and what it's bent towards is extremely important. And the scripture says, "We'll find God when we seek for Him with our whole heart." And I know that have you ever sent a little, maybe a child after something, like, go to the shop and get this for me. And they just go in there like, bruh, 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 bruh. Can't see it. You come back out, I couldn't find it. And they didn't really search for it. You know what I mean? They're just like casual looking. If we're going to find God, we have to seek for Him diligently. We have to have our heart truly engaged. I remember years ago at home, we would lose things, and Mother was always good at finding things. You know, she would go and she would diligently search for it, and she would look in places where we all knew it wasn't there, but she would find it, and she diligently sought and she found. That's the person who finds those that diligently seek. You drive down the Creek Road sometimes out in Allen's Field. You see these men out there walking down that disc field, hour after hour. What are they doing? They're looking down. And you know, what's the point of that? They're searching diligently. And I'm sure those people find arrowheads. They wouldn't be out there if they wouldn't find them. But they don't just casually look. But they value arrowheads, and they find them. And they put time into seeking for arrowheads. What seek ye? You shall find me when you search for me with all your heart. You know, we're almost to the time of the year that mushrooms come up, right? Are mushrooms easy to find or hard to find? If you just casually go through the woods, are you going to find mushrooms? Probably not. They blend in with the leaves. But if you know where to look for them, you know what to look for, and you intend to find mushrooms, and you train your eyes to see those things, you'll find mushrooms more than likely. But if you just casually, a person that just puttered through his four-wheeler, he probably won't find a single mushroom. But if you get out there and you diligently look for them, you'll find mushrooms more than likely if they're there. So, intently seeking, purposeful pursuing. What are we pursuing in life? What do we often talk about with our friends? Where would we have been found in that day? Would we have been found there with Andrew and John, or would we be off pursuing some worldly pursuit with the throngs? Or would you be with the few who value the eternal? Moses found greater treasure. By faith Moses, this is Hebrews 11, verse 24 to 26, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense, the reward. I believe Moses would have been there with Andrew and John. I believe Moses would have followed Jesus. I believe Moses saw the foolishness of what the world has to offer, and he had turned his gaze on the spiritual. If you then be risen with Christ, how many here have been risen with Christ, have been baptized, have said, I'll follow him? If you then be risen with Christ, what? Seek those things which are above. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth with on the right hand of God. Set your affection, the pull of your heart, the gaze of your heart on things above, not on things on the earth. What seek ye? For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ. I'm reading through Job right now, and in Job, I saw a verse there that reminded me of this. Job says, "Oh that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat." That's someone who's longing after God. That was our first point, What Seek Ye, also the title. I want to look now what their answer was. So they're following Jesus. Our second point here is coming up. They were following him, and then after some time, I don't know how long, maybe right away, Jesus says, What seek ye? And what's their answer? Hey, you have a minute? Is that what he said? Hey, do you have a minute to talk? He said, Where dwellest thou? Where dwellest thou? It wasn't say, do you have a minute to talk? I have a question for you. But it's rather, where dwellest thou? Well, that's profound. That's profound. Where dwellest thou? What all is packed in that phrase? That's our next point. Where dwellest thou? We want to get to know you. We want more than just a quick 5-minute devotions. Jesus, I want to learn about you. I want to know you. John says, you're the Messiah. Can we go home with you tonight? I want to be where you are. Not just a quick encounter, not just a 10-minute conversation, but Master, where do you live? I want to be with you. You know, sometimes we meet people and after we talk, chat with them for a bit, you know, then, well, we move on. You know, but that wasn't how it was with them. Like, well, I got to go. Got to go take care of some business. You know, it was nice meeting you. You know, God bless you, Jesus. But no, it was, where do you dwell? Can we go home with you tonight? How is your seeking? Is it a quick thing? Well, got to go, Jesus. And I know we do. We have responsibilities. But what's the attitude of our heart? Is it a deep longing to know Him, to be with Him? Is it like the Song of Solomon says, Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon? For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks to thy companions? I want to be with you. To abide with you. To abide in you. To dwell where you dwell. Is it like the heart of Ruth that says, I'm not going back. I'm going to stay with you. Is it where you dwell, I will dwell. Your people should be my people. Your God, my God. Is that the beat of our heart? They didn't say, can we have a chat with you, but where do you dwell? David says he wanted to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. Those who abide in him, those who go home with Jesus, are the ones that will bear fruit. If you have those that abide in me, the same bringeth forth much fruit. If you abide in him, he'll give you the desire of your heart. You'll ask and he'll give you what you ask. If you abide in him, your life will prosper, and you'll be fruitful. Your branch will receive much nourishment. It reminds me of the cry of Paul, that I may know Him. That was the beat of the heart of these men. Master, not can we chat for a few minutes, but Master, where do You dwell? Where do You dwell? Can we go home with You? It says, He said, come and see. They came and saw where He dwelt and abode with Him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. So they spent the night with Him, it seems, or at least the whole day, if not the night. I thought about the song. It's a song and it's also a psalm. In Psalms 84, it says, O Lord... No, it says, how amiable are Thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. And what that basically means is how lovely, you know, how beautiful is the place You dwell. Now, that tabernacle there is Your dwelling place, if you look it up in the Greek. Some translations say, it says, how lovely is Your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. And just, you know, when you get to know Him, How refreshing it is to be with Him, to dwell with Him, to be in His presence. In a song, it's just, David says, Lord, how lovely is the place You dwell. I want to be there all the time. So I believe this phrase that they says here, where dwellest Thou, just shows the longing of their heart to get to know Jesus. And that should be the longing of every one of us. Amen? To get to know Him, to know Him deeply, not just a shallow, surfacey way, but to spend time with Him and to deeply come to know the One you love. Job says in chapter 22, verse 21, acquaint now thyself with Him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Acquaint now thyself with Him and be at peace. So they said, where dwellest Thou, Master? Where dwellest Thou? And His response then, this is number three. So the first was, what seek ye? Number two was, where dwellest Thou? Number three is, come and see. He saith unto them, come and see. I like that. I like the welcome of the Lord. Come and see. You know, some people, when you want to get close to Him, it's like, well, you can get about so close, and it's like, that's it, you know. I didn't sweep my house this morning, you know, or I don't want you to see this area of my life, or maybe you spend a half an hour visiting with someone, you're asking questions, you want to know them, but yet you never can get through the surface. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. But Jesus is not that way. He says, come. He welcomes the seeking heart. Come and see. He opens His life up. You know, He didn't care how poor His house, I don't know where He was. Was it a rented house? Was He living with someone? But Jesus didn't care how lowly His dwelling place was. They were welcome to come. They were welcome to come. I believe that's the heart of Jesus to every seeking soul is come. Come. Come and see. Come learn of Me. You see this, I'll get there later. Come and see. In order to come and see, a person has to forsake other things. In order to come and dwell with Jesus, you have to sacrifice something else. That time, or a pursuit in your life, if you're going to devote your life to speaking and following God. Ultimately, then, they left their business and followed Jesus, didn't they? They did. So in order to come and see, you have to forsake other things. They left business and friends. Jesus invited them to get close. He doesn't have walls. He opens His life. We can feel threatened if someone wants to get too close to us. They might see an area of need in my life. They might see some flat spots. They might see who I really am, and we get uncomfortable. But Jesus is not that way. He opens His life. He doesn't feel threatened. He doesn't feel, he's nothing to, He doesn't feel threatened by that. And I don't believe these people were curious just about where he lived. I believe it was a desire to get to know him. Jesus says in Matthew 11, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Come close. See how I walk. See how I live. Hear what I say and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm very thankful that Jesus is that way. That he welcomes. He opens his life up. He doesn't have up these walls. But he allows us to get close. He allows us to get personal. He allows us to see his heart. I'd like to call all of us this morning to enter into brotherhood. And if you're going to enter into brotherhood and meaningful relationships, you have to be like Jesus in this way. You have to come to the place where you're able to be vulnerable, to open your life up, to bring those walls down, to let people see your real heart, to be honest, to be transparent, and to be okay to be that way. Otherwise, you will never enter into true brotherhood and deep and meaningful relationships. Your heart should be, come and see. Here's my life, brothers. Here's my life, sisters. Come and see. Speak into my life. I appreciate how you brothers are saying that to each other. Speak into my life. Yeah, you know, and you know, yeah, maybe there are some airs that aren't swept. Maybe the bed's not made. But it's okay. It's okay. Come and see. The blessing that'll come on your life if you can do that. Jesus is that way. Let's be that way too. I challenge you in that. Come and see. And my last point here, I want to focus on the rest of the verses here. Let's just go ahead and read those. So I think we stopped at, we're ready for verse 40. So they went and dwelt with him. Verse 40 it says, "One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. It's an interesting name to call someone, but it's very significant, I believe. 43. "The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, of the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." That's quite the compliment there. Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. God has the idea of deceit or just, you know, dishonesty. I believe when you met Nathanael, you would meet a genuine person. What you see is what you would get. And I met a Hispanic fellow the other day, I don't believe he was a real godly man, but yet there was something about him that seemed sincere. That, you know, I saw a true heart, it seemed. And, you know, he wasn't putting up some guise of deceit or trying to act. You know, he seemed genuine. And I believe with Nathanael, you met him, he was a genuine man, honest man, a man of integrity, no guile, no deceit. Verse 48, "Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." And that just convinced Nathanael. "Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. just a heart that's just open, you know, open to be taught. And when he saw it, he accepted it. And he was, yeah, no pride or resistance there. He believed. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. Verse 51. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So I wasn't sure what to title my last heading here, but I titled it, They Influenced Each Other Spiritually, the disciples. They influenced each other spiritually. What do we talk about when we're together? With our peers, brothers in the church. I believe it's fine to talk about many things. I believe it's fine to talk about work. But what is it that is down deep in our heart that we talk about? And that's what I want to look at a little bit right here. It struck me here how you just see these were very spiritual men, these disciples here. Philip, Andrew, Nathaniel, no guile. And you see that you know, not only were they following John and they're following Jesus, but you see when they got together what they were excited about. Did Jesus call all of his disciples? Did he go hunt each one out individually and find them himself? No. They found others and brought others to him. You see that? There was Andrew here in verse, where is it at? Verse 41. Okay, so Andrew was following John, right? And then John, when he made that statement that this is the Lamb of God, Andrew and one other brother, I don't know who it was, it may have been John, I wonder if it wasn't John. He kind of shy about giving his name sometimes. But I wonder if it wasn't John, I don't know. But one of them was Andrew. It says, One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon. So Jesus did call Peter later, I believe. But his first encounter with Jesus, it seems, was because of his brother Andrew. Andrew goes and he finds Peter. He says, Peter, you got to come meet this man. And he brings Peter to him, to Jesus. And that's when Peter first meets Jesus and when Jesus names him Cephas. And then you also see it down in verse 44. Jesus calls Philip. And he says, verse 43, he says, Philip, follow me. And Philip, then in verse 45, Philip finds Nathanael. So this man who knows guile is brought to Jesus by Philip. Philip findeth Nathanael and brings him to Jesus. That's when Jesus says, Behold, an Israelite indeed. So I see here that these men were very spiritually minded men, and they were excited about the things of God. And when they got together, that was meaningful to them. And they influenced each other. They spoke about the things of God out and about. Out and about. Not just in the synagogue. But when they were together, they talked about things of God. Said, Brother, you got to come see this man I met. Come. And he also says, We have found him. You see the heart there? We have found him. There was something in them, I believe, that was longing for the day when the Messiah would come. And they found him. And it says, Peter, we found him. Nathanael, we found him. Come see him. Would to God he would give us more Andrews and Phillips. I'm thankful for those that are among us that way, but may God fan that flame to where we influence each other in a spiritual way. What do we speak about when we get together with our friends? I'm sure there was a lot of politics, Judeo-Roman politics. I'm sure it was probably as hot as the whole Trump-Biden issue was, probably. The whole Roman versus Jew. The whole political situation was probably as hot a topic then as some of our recent things were. And I'm sure that they could have been talking about that. But there was something deeper in their heart. I'm sure there was many of, you know, the gladiators were going on. Did you hear about who won the last, you know, in the Colosseum, or who won the last, you know, feud there, whatever they did, and all that stuff. There was plenty of stuff to talk about. But these men had their sights on something higher, nobler. These have a Lord their sights. Do you challenge one another? How's it going? You know, I appreciate what Philip shared at devotion Friday morning prayer this morning. That resonates right along with this point here of the responsibility that God gives each one of us to exhort one another daily. That's a command that He gives to exhort one another daily. And when we're together, some of that should be happening. It was happening with these brothers. If you would have been a Peter out, if you're, I'm not sure how to say the question, but if Peter was your brother, would you have gone to him in the same way that Andrew did? And would you have been a good influence to him in that way? Would you have come home from work saying, "Peter, I have to tell you about what I found today"? Or would you have been filling his ear with all kinds of other stuff? Or would your heart burn as Andrew's heart did burn? Okay, give me a moment here to get my thoughts in order. The burden I have with this is that it's not just a thing that we should be good influences. Try to follow this. It's not that we should just be good influences. The part of the burden is that we are influencing each other. You follow the difference? You know, I'm not just saying you need to be good influences. You know what? We all are influencing each other. Remember your brothers, Noah Strickland's devotional a few weeks back in prayer, at the brothers' meeting about our example. There's something about us that everyone sees. There's something about me that you all see that I probably am oblivious to in many ways. But we do influence each other. The question is, what is my influence? Is it like these brothers here who influence each other in a very positive spiritual way? Okay, well, I'll just move on here. I want to talk a little bit about Nathanael's response here in verse 52. Actually, no, it's not 52. I'm looking at a different verse here. Here, let's see, where is it at here? In verse 46, when Philip does go to Nathanael and speaks to him and says, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael says, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" I'm not sure what Nazareth was like, but it seems like that it must have been kind of insignificant or maybe looked at with some disdain. Nazareth? It seems like, I did a little bit of study on it, it seems like that it was kind of more of a low, not in very high repute. People were not thought of highly necessarily in Nazareth. It wasn't one of those popular places to live. I think Nathanael himself lived there, I believe, in Galilee. But also, I believe that they also knew the scripture. It says that the Messiah was going to come from Bethlehem, and so that might have also been what Nathanael was referring to there. That they all knew that. You remember the one place where the Pharisee says, "Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet." And Galilee and Nazareth were kind of in the same area there. So he didn't believe that his idea was that Jesus would not come from Nazareth, but rather from Bethlehem. But I like the way that Philip didn't argue with him. He didn't try to convince him. He simply said, come and see. And I think I like that phrase there, because Jesus said that to them earlier. We talked about it there earlier in verse, can't find it now. Yeah, verse 39. He says, come and see. And they said, where dwellest thou? And also here in this verse, 46, Philip says, come and see. You also see it there, the story of the woman at the well. When she went back she couldn't believe what Jesus was telling to her. She was excited. She ran back and told the city. She said, come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. I believe, brothers and sisters, there was something about Jesus that when you talk to him, something more than the words, something about his spirit, something was powerful about Jesus. The anointing of God was upon him. And Philip was convinced that if Nathanael would simply come and see Jesus, he would be persuaded. He didn't try to argue with him. He didn't get into a debate about prophecy. He simply says, come and meet him. Come meet him for yourself. The woman said the same thing. Come, see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Come and see. And Nathanael was barely convinced. And the last verse there, 51, it's an interesting verse. It says, when Jesus told him, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And I'm not exactly sure what Jesus was referring to. It could be that he's referring to when he comes in the clouds, the angels are going to be with him. You'll see him and the angels coming with him. It also could mean different people seem to think it could have the idea that was the very beginning of what Nathanael saw. He saw Jesus in a miraculous way. He saw him in a supernatural way there, and it amazed him that Jesus could see him this way. And Jesus, in the very next chapter, it says that when he turned the water to wine, it says that he manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. There was a way that Jesus walked that heaven was open. It's like the angels were telling him, revealing the Father's will continuously to him. So some have felt it could mean that way. I'm not sure what it means, but we do know that Nathanael was only beginning to see the very beginning of Jesus' miraculous power. So that concludes my message in a way this morning. I may just have some thoughts here at the end as we wrap up. I hope you hear my heart, especially at the beginning of the message, there, of what we're seeking after. And the thing of seeking Jesus in a way that's beyond just a quick acquaintance with Him in the morning, but in a deep way that we desire to know Him intimately. And that what is our influence? Because, brothers, the thing that our heart is after, the thing in life that we're seeking, is a thing that we would be influencing others with. Right? The thing that our heart is passionate about, whether you say the words or not, that's what you'll be influencing those around you with. It bleeds out of your life. A little paper here. May God give us more Andrews and Phillips. Those that are seeking beyond the things of this life. Those who are men who are interested in the things of God. More of those. To whom the things of this world have grown strangely dim. They have seen, their eyes have been opened to the vanity of it. Men who would sooner go to a spiritual meeting than to entertainment. Men who would rather be out there in the wilderness with John the Baptist than watching the gladiators fight. May God give us Nathanaels, Israelites indeed, in whom is no guile What you see is what you get. The walls are down. They're open and transparent with each other. Come and see my life. Speak into my life. Men who are willing, as the disciples were, to leave all and follow Jesus. Men who engage and influence each other spiritually. They go and they'll bring others to Jesus. That's my heart this morning. I hope you can hear my heart. And may God make us all Andrews and Phillips. God bless you.